Thanks again for being here. We do have some that are missing today, and I know that Gary had said that one of the things he has to do is keep his foot elevated, but he did want to come and be with us as much as he possibly could this morning. But he has to go home and make sure that happens. We're glad that Travis came to be with us, and we certainly appreciate everyone else that has come to be with us today. We were discussing in the first lesson about a song. It wasn't a song. It's a story that we have a song about. And we talked about the fact that we go through some times in life, and I would argue that as Christians, they're good. And we just make everything, regardless of what it is, as that saying about when it's lemons, we make the lemonade and that sort of thing. And it might sound kind of trite, but that's actually what we do. And we look at Jesus, even when he went to the cross, the joy that was set before him, he endured that. So as we look at this, we think about that, and we think about how do we prepare for those moments and how do we do those things. This is just kind of a reminder of what we talked about. We talk about this event that occurred, and typically we consider it a children's story for the most part, and you don't hear very much said about it, I don't think, but there's a lot to be said about it. And we talk about my daughter loved that song, Peace Be Still, and so this event certainly is a great event. I want to read it one more time. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So when we looked at this and we looked at this sea, we talked about the fact that it's about 8 miles across. And as we looked at this, he had been teaching at this synagogue that there are ruins there now. We talked about the fact that at night you cannot see anything. This is right at sunset. But you get out in the dark and you literally can't see anything. And the type of lamps they would have had would have certainly not lasted out there in that wind. And a storm, seemingly an innocent storm. And I've actually been on the sea, or not sea. I've actually been out on the waters more than once when it was not calm. And I will tell you something, it can be very scary out there. So I understand the situation they were in. So the event again, at the middle of this, he arises and he says, "Be still." Now, I want to remind us of what this is. Peace has the idea of a hush or a muteness. In other words, it's completely nothing. There will be no sound at all. Wind, the only way that we can know it, we see the effects of it and we can hear it. Both of those stopped immediately when he said it. "Be still" means to muzzle it. He put it in his complete and absolute control. But now, we talked about the context for them, but I think it's much more important today that we take the context away from this. We read those same parables, and we read where we need to understand what the Word can do, and we understand the hearts of people, and we understand faith. Are we that heart that accepts that Word in faith and then goes and does something with it? Or are we that heart that immediately refuses and says no? Or are we that heart that says, "Okay, I'll accept it for a little bit, but it doesn't take very long before Satan comes along and snatches it away"? Or are we that heart where the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of wickedness, chokes it out? Which heart are we? Where's our faith? We can learn the same lesson from it that they did. We might look at them and say, "Wow, they didn't get that one." But you know, the soils are still the hearts of the people. That hasn't changed. That's still true today. We are still to be the light of the world that he talked about. We're not to hide that. We're to present ourselves as disciples of Christ and not be ashamed of it. We're to be different than the world. We are, as Roger put it so well not too long ago, we are really the normal ones. It's the world that is the oddballs. They're not doing what God wants. We are to be that light. Does the world like the light? No. But because the world don't like it, I'm going to shut it out. I'm not going to present my light anymore. When you ask me why I believe things, or when I get a chance to talk to you, I want to talk about God's Word. We can still hear. We can still use our abilities, and we can still gain on those abilities, he said. That has not changed. That was not just for his disciples. the seed still produces much fruit when it's sown, but the word has to be sown. And even the smallest of seed still produces great things if we understand that we need to be the ones that help to present that, but we need it in us as well. And that's what he's talking about. That seed has to get into our minds or our heads. We should still have a faith that produces much, not only in us, but we to help others as well. The storms of life still come for all humans. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing in life that's not going to happen. There's no one in this room that can say, I've gone through things you don't understand, you don't know. I don't. That was a terrible storm they went through, a physical storm. But let's look at some of those storms. Being a disciple, number one, is not going to keep us from storms. Just because Job was a good man didn't keep him from the storms of life. He went through things that I've never had to go through. He literally, within a very short period of time, lost everything that he physically had except the land that it was on. And even that land had been made worthless to a degree by Satan. Think about that for a moment. Have I gone through a storm like that? The disciples go through it as well. We have both literal and figurative storms in our life. We go through sometimes Christians encounter tornadoes, hurricanes, violent thunderstorms. How do we deal with them? I've told this, I'm going to tell it one more time just for sake of. When we had a terrible storm coming, Lindsay, our granddaughter, said, what do we do? And Linda was there with her and she said, we pray. I want to tell you something. When she observed that day, what God can do, she believes now that God can turn anything away if He chooses to do so. She believes that a prayer of faith will accomplish something. She believes that at 5 years old, because she saw that day what God can do. And you say, well, now wait just a second. Did God do that? I'm going to tell you something in life. The reason we didn't hit that cliff when I was talking about us being out on the sea in that houseboat, I don't care how you look at it, the reason we didn't hit it was because of God. Everything good in our life, He gets the glory for. Regardless of how He happens, it has to happen, whether through the nature that He's already set up or where He literally is doing things. Christians experience sickness, accidents, death, disappointments. Look around, we know they do. Judy's mother fell. Grace fell. Gary fell. Things happen to Christians. It does not change things. They do happen. Death, we won't escape. Christians might face the lack of certain things in life. For instance, they might not have things that they need. They might not have all the things that they think they should want. Paul had faced these things. 2 Corinthians 11:25, he says, listen, there's no one out there and turn to me and go, well, you know what, I've experienced things. He said, Abe, before you even start, Abe, I want to tell you some things. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been in the deep. I've been in journeys, often. Perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen. You don't talk about being in a bad storm. Paul was in the worst possible kind of storm until he finally destroyed the ship he was on. You know what he kept his faith in? You know what he told him as he calmly went around the ship? Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. That's the approach. That's the faith. He had it. Perils of the Gentiles, perils of the city, perils of the wilderness, perils of the sea, perils among false brethren, weariness and toil, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold and nakedness. Yeah, I think we have people who have experienced things much greater than we have, and they did it with a smile on their face, and they said, we can do this. The storms of life will come as well because we're Christians. We just sing a song that Glendon led us in, and when the storms come, and one of the things it talked about, those persecutions, tribulations, Jesus said, you're going to have them. If I get them, you're going to get them. It's not going to change. And He said, He prayed to the Father that these things be taken care of. 2 Timothy 3:12 says that all that will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. It's going to be a storm in life. And if it's not a storm in our life, maybe we need to check our lives. Problems among brethren, it happens. It's nothing new. It happened in the Bible. We see in Abraham and Lot's people arguing among themselves. When you get people together, it happens. People have different ideas, different thoughts. It's how we deal with them and how we approach them. We have people that leave the Lord. Demas has forsaken me, having loved present world, 2 Timothy 4:10. How do I deal with that? What if it's someone that means a lot to me? Demas had been a man that had been there with Paul, and he had been apparently a man that had really helped Paul. Did Paul say, okay, well, I tell you what, that's it for me? No, absolutely not. That smile's still on his face. Talks about those that are divisive in Titus 3, 10, 11. It says after the second, third time, reject them. He talks about people who will deliberately try to just destroy a group. They will do anything they can. We're not talking about having discussions about things. We're talking about a divisive person, one who deliberately tries to cause problems. Not one standing for the truth, but one who does everything they can. They say that person's warped and sinning. Here's Paul, who's doing the best he can, and he talks about those brethren in Galatians 2, 4, and 5 that came in with false doctrines and tried to ruin him because they wanted to go back to the Mosaical law. So they're talking about Paul. They're trying to ruin his influence. He said, we wouldn't even listen to him for a moment. You know what he did? He stood up for what was right. He got up and he said, this is what's truth. He said, we wouldn't even let them talk. Others that teach false doctrine, we studied this not too long ago in 2 Peter. He said that there will be those among you. Starting then, it had already started and it's continued through today. People who will teach false things. He said they'll bring in destructive heresies. Even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. It happens. Even among you, he said. So how do we deal with that? Do we get gloomy when things happen? No, we stand for truth and we keep our faith. And we know that the Lord will stand by us if we'll do His will. How about problems with family? We all have them. It's not new to anyone here. There's not a person in this room that hasn't had those types of things happen in their lives. How do we approach it? Well, we approach it like Christ said. What did He say? Well, it's going to happen. There's going to be conflicts in which those that will follow Jesus and those that will not, even in your own household, are going to turn against one another. And who's turning against who? Well, the ones that are turning against Christ are turning against you because you stand. I've known of people who stood up for the Lord and their family turned their picture around on the wall and wouldn't claim them anymore as their children. Wouldn't have anything to do with them anymore. Deliberately shut them out only because they had faith in Jesus Christ and tried to follow Him. Paul had faced many of those storms as well. We find that he has gone through things where he's been accused of things, where he's been talked about, where, and I could use several scriptures on this, where he's been treated by his own brethren as if he's not an apostle. He's constantly having to stand up for Jesus Christ and His apostleship. I've been sent. I didn't do it. He sent me, he said. Galatians 1, it's not my gospel, it's His. He is the one taught me this. And they accused Him of not being that. They accused Him of all kinds of things. They accused Him apparently of wanting to take monies that had been collected. Paul said, I've been through all of that. And he said, when it comes down to it, in verse 28, my deep concern for all the churches. We should never, ever be surprised when we have to face things like this. We should be prepared for them. We should understand them. And we should, with a smile on our face, say, I'm still going to continue to do what God said, and I'm going to show my happiness and joy because of what God's given me. In Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. That's a warning to all of us. A man as strong as Simon Peter, and Satan asked for him that he could sift him like wheat? Who am I? So, I shouldn't be surprised when those things come upon me. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, clearly he talks about how tribulations would come and how all of that would come to them. Still true today. He said, don't think it strange about the fiery trial that's about to come upon you. We should never, ever think it strange. What we should think is, if things are going well, that's when Satan is going to try to do his dirtiest. That's when he's going to try to destroy us. That's when he's going to try to come at us as individuals and as a local church. He's going to do everything he can if things are going well here. Just like Jesus told them, you just take me out across that sea at night, we've got to follow Jesus' instructions. If Jesus says you need to do this, He is the shepherd in John 10, and He said, my sheep will follow me. Did you notice He just didn't send them out? He's there on the boat with them. He's there with us. He's the shepherd. He's the leader. He's right in front of us. He's telling us what to do. And He led by example. He was so concerned about the souls of people that He died on the cross for our sins. He was so concerned about the souls of people that He spent 3.5 years teaching, day in and day out. He proved Himself with His miracles. And He proved Himself with His resurrection from the dead. He's still there. He still says, Abe, follow me. We should never, ever seem to be fight against Him. In Acts 5, Gamaliel said, now, we need to rethink this, he said. What if these disciples, what if it's true what they're saying? He said, you know, we've had these things happen in the past and they just go away. But he said, what if this doesn't go away? You know who we're fighting against? It's God. He said, we need to be careful with this. We need to think this through. What if they're telling the truth? Guess what? They were. And you know, things, as we talked about in the first lesson, can happen quickly in our life. I've seen people that seemingly had perfect health. Everything going well. Within a short period of time, would lose pretty much all that they had. Their health, all the things of their life. You know, doesn't mean, though, that you're not following God when those things happen. It might mean that you are and that Satan is doing everything he can to destroy your faith. So, we need to understand that. Do we lose our faith when the storms come? There's a warning from chapter 11 of Hebrews. He talks about all those people that had life really easy, didn't they? No, they didn't. I thought of Abraham. What a man. And his wife Sarah. What a woman. Traveling through life. Wandering here to there. Never having a place to really sit down and stay and invite the grandkids over, if you will. I could say a lot more about that, but I don't have a lesson on that sometimes, so I'm going to leave something out I almost said because I want to present it later. But he had faith. He had faith way down the road. He didn't see these things in his lifetime. He had tremendous faith. And in Hebrews 12:1 it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. From where? From chapter 11. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. What's the sin that does so easily beset us? Well, I'll tell you what the sin is. It's clear from chapter 11. It's a lack of faith. That's the sin that gets every one of us. Oh no, it was because you had a lack of faith. It's because I have a lack of faith. Why don't I go to it? Well, it's because I don't have faith. You see, he didn't say, oh, ye of little faith. He said, why do you have no faith? Hebrews 10, he says, you know, there you were out there. You went through all these sufferings in verse 32. I remember those things. And you were made a spectacle by these reproaches and tribulations, and you became companions of those who were so treated. You went through a hard, hard time. He said, not only that, but there you were. You had compassion on me in my chains. You cared about me. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. In other words, you folks gave to me when I didn't have. You're that kind of people. So you had this hope of heaven. He said, don't cast it away. Don't be on that boat saying, where are you? Don't you care that we perish? He's concerned. He said, you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you receive the promise. In verse 39, we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul. It will always, always be based on our faith, because our faith is what causes us to obey. Do we turn to the Savior and go, I don't know. Did you leave me? Where'd my faith go? I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, don't you care that I gave my life on the cross for you, Abe? You think I've left you? No, any leaving is going to be done. You're leaving me because your faith went somewhere else. You know what causes me to sin? Again, it's my lack of faith. I truly don't believe what he said. Oh, yes, I do. No, you don't, Abe. You see, he says, be very careful. The just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's strong. It wasn't me that pulled away from you. You pulled away from me, he said. It wasn't me that was concerned. I had no concern about us perishing. It was you and your lack of faith. The Savior is still saying, Abe, peace, be still. Muzzle it. Be quiet. I always think of all those passages in the Old Testament that talks about us coming before God and be still and wait on Him. Be quiet. Let Him talk. Where is Christ when the storms come? Well, Acts 7, verse 56, when those storms came for Stephen and it's the end of his life, and he knows that he's being stoned to death, and as those stones and rocks are hitting him, he says, I saw him standing there at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ was there to take care of him. Christ was not going to let that soul perish. He was going to let him die on earth, but he was going to bring him home to be in heaven with him. In 2 Timothy 4, where are you, Jesus? Well, there's one thing about it. Paul said, I don't have any doubts about him. I know Demas has forsaken me. Timothy, I wish you'd come and see me. Would you just please tell Titus to come? I would like to see some people. But he said, I'm going to tell you this. At my first defense, no one stood with me except the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I was delivered out of a storm. You know why I was delivered out of a storm? It wasn't because, oh, I'm so special and everything. It was because I had a message to teach. My faith said I need to go out and do something, and so I'm going to deliver you out of that so you can continue to do that, and that's what he did for me. Who do we look to? Well, let's go to Hebrews 12:2. I quoted this a little bit earlier, and let's read this. He said, watch your faith. Don't lose your faith, Abe. Instead, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or of faith. You want to know what it's all about? Look to Him. Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's it. When we make it through a storm, do we have fear because of a lack of faith? Do we look and say, okay, now I'm really afraid. Did this happen because as they were suddenly afraid of Jesus and His great power? Well, I want to say this in two different ways. I have never, ever lost my Greek word, phobia of God. I have never. Phobio, or however it's pronounced. I have never. I work on it every day, and I know that the Bible, what it says, and I understand that. But it's difficult. It's difficult because it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God in Hebrews 10:31. It is fearful. And I have confidence that I have salvation, but it's also as we talked in class today, how do we describe Him? Unlimited knowledge? Unlimited power? Unlimited ability to be in time and space? How do you describe a being like that? I can't. I want it to be just awe instead of that other type. But it's always in the back of my mind when I'm getting ready to do something. You know why? When I grew up, it was always in the back of my mind about my dad. What if he catches me? Because I knew what he'd do to me. And he did. He never disappointed me. He never disappointed me. He punished me, and it was for my good. And he always told me because he loved me. So that's there. But do we have just all because of his great power? I think in 1 John 4:13, perfect love casts out fear. 18, I'm sorry. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, talking about that type of fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So here's the point he's trying to make. If in the back of my mind I always have that, I might not live my life the way he wants me to. So he wants me to get away from that. So he wants me to work on that constantly. But I still think about God and the power. How can someone say, peace be still, and there be great calm and nothing, just like a sea of glass? That's amazing. We need to thank Him. We need to be thanking in everything the Bible says. There's not just one thing. There's a lesson to be taught in this. And what they should have done is turned around to Him. This is easy for me to turn and talk about these disciples, by the way. I'm thankful to Sarah because I've got this one down pat, right? What they should have done is turned around and thanked Him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saving our lives. Thank you for not letting us perish. Thank you for the great power that you have. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know in context he's talking about we do this through our singing and other things, but for sure we thank Him in all things. Do we doubt? I hear people, Christians, that doubt that He can use that power. They doubt because they can't figure out how He could do that and it not be a miracle. Well, I got to tell you something. You can do this any way you want to. You exist today because He's keeping you existing. If He wants to take away His breath or His spirit, you're gone. He upholds all things by His great power. That's a fact. That is not... I believe that. I should say it that way, and I believe it a fact. That's my faith. 1 John 5:14 and 15, this is a confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. But He says, just in case you didn't understand what I just said... And we know that He hears us whatever we ask of Him. We know that we have the petitions we've asked of Him. That's great power. We've seen it in the Bible. We know He can answer it. Why don't we ask? Have you ever been looking for something? And I get ashamed sometimes, and I just want to say this, and I'm going to take a little more time in this lesson. I talk to God sometimes, and I say, I know this is so trivial. Because I can't find something or something. And so I say, I know it's trivial to you, but God, you know it's not to me. I need to find whatever it is. Would you please help me? Did this just recently. And I don't care what you say. God answers prayers. And nothing's too trivial, too small for Him or too big. That's how much He loves us. I don't need to be standing up in that boat and saying, don't you care? Of course He cares. Don't you hear? Of course He hears. He still, as I said in Hebrews 1:3, upholding all things by His power. It says He sits there at the right hand of God, the Father. Instead of fear, what we should have is great faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, stand fast in your faith. What that means is you hold on to it with everything you've got. Don't ever let go of that faith. It takes faith. Whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Wow. Because that's faith. You see, you're basing it on something. We need to live by it. The just shall live by faith. How much joy should I have in my life? 20:28 of Acts. I mean, excuse me, 24. Paul was talking to those Ephesian elders, and he said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy." How in the world could you be a happy person, Paul? What is wrong with you? He knows. He's telling them he's about to be imprisoned. And I can just picture Paul having that smile on his face as he says, "That's okay. I'm getting closer to being with God eternally. That's okay. I know what I have. I know whom I've believed. I know whom I've committed myself to. And I know that He'll keep that against that day. I don't have to worry about it." Peter felt the same way. He did not concern himself with this. He knew that he had salvation. He knew, and he had total joy in his life, because when it comes down to it, it is what life's about. He said, it's going to be tested, your faith is. He said, but listen to this. Once it's tested, verse 8, whom having not seen, talking about Jesus Christ, your love, through Him, though you do not see Him, yet believing, that faith again, that strong faith, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's our light. You want to be different? That's your light. Let it shine. Who can this be? That even the sea and the wind obey Him. Who could He be? Peter said, Matthew 16:16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We don't want to be like those disciples on that boat. We want to have faith. We need to step out. We need to say, "I can do this." Now here's the question. Do I have enough faith to do whatever He asks of me? What if He says, "I'll tell you what, if you'll just obey me, I'll be the propitiation for your sins. I'll be the appeasement to God for your sins. I'll be the atonement for your sins. But Abe, I'm going to tell you what you have to do. With great faith, you have to obey." Now, what did Christ say about that? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He said you need to be a penitent person, one who wants change in their life, will make change in their life, will turn away from sin and turn to Christ. He said, "You must confess me before men." These are all things Jesus said. And He said, "You must be immersed in water for the remission of sins." And how do I know that? Because many passages, like Acts 8, where the eunuch is being taught, and it said he taught about Christ from Isaiah 53. Why did he say to him, "See, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" Because he knew exactly what Jesus had taught. And that's exactly what Philip taught him. Acts 1, those that gladly received His word were baptized. As Christians, we have to remain faithful. As it says in Revelation 2:10, faithful even unto death. Does anyone need to take care of their sins today? Well, it's an amazing thing. If you're not a Christian, all you have to do is through faith, step out. Do what God wants you to do. And as a Christian, if I'm not living right, I need to step out and make those things right with God and change my life. It is through our Savior's sacrifice that the storms of sin can be calmed. Let me tell you what the greatest storm is in my life. It's sin. Everything else I can make it through. That's the hard one. That's the one that gets us. That's the one that causes us to perish. Not because Jesus didn't make it possible that I didn't have to perish, but because I do that. And so He says to me, "Abe, just don't do that. Peace, be still. Muzzle it. Control your life." We're going to stand and sing a song. If there's any needs, we would be glad to help you any way we can. Would you please stand?